This afternoon, we are going to examine two verses which the chairman has already read to us. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. These two verses speaks of the doctrine of the covenant of grace. These two verses gives us further proof that the book of Proverbs is not a book on Christian morals, but a book for the covenant people of God to read, to meditate, and to practice. The text before us is a treatment of the many aspects of God's dealing with his covenant people. These particular aspects deals with what God will do if he finds his children going wayward, disobey, and not keeping in steps with his commandments and statutes. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must recognize and constantly remember that though we as believers are delivered, we are saved from our sin and we are delivered from the guilt of sin, nevertheless, God has not willed to remove the sin nature in us. We see in these two verses that he chastises and not punishes. He corrects and not condemns. And herein lies the great difference between those who are in the covenant of grace and those who are outside of the covenant of grace. Providentially, the book of Hebrews, which again our chairman has also referred to in Hebrews, it gives us more insight into these two verses in Proverbs 3. Please turn with me to Hebrews, and I want to direct you particularly to verses 5 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11, and I read, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord," which is similar to what we find in verse 11 of Proverbs 3, "despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present times, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So we see here the use of the principle of comparing scripture with scripture to use the clearer text to shed light on the more obscure text. And that's what I intend to do. In our brief study of Proverbs 3:11 and 12, there are two dangers. There are two dangers we are instructed to keep away, and then we are given the reason for doing so. First danger to keep away. Despise not the Lord's chastisement. Second danger, be not weary of the Lord's correction. And then we will look finally at the reasons for the Lord's chastisement and correction. Let us consider the first danger. Despise not the Lord's chastisement. Before that, we must not forget that as God's children, we need no longer be punished for our sins because Christ, our Lord, had already bore the full penalty for our sins on the cross. He was our substitute on the cross to take our punishment, and therefore we must remember that judicially speaking, God no longer deals with us as condemned sinners, but as sons and daughters through adoption. Spurgeon, in his sermon on Hebrews 12:5, says this: yes, though we are no longer condemned for our sins and God deals with us as sons and daughters, Spurgeon said this, but yet, while the sin cannot be punished, while the Christian cannot be condemned, he can be chastised. While he shall never be arraigned before God's bar as a criminal and punished for his guilt, yet he now stands in a new relationship, that of a child to his parent. And as a son, he may be chastised on account of sin. Unquote. So, brethren, notice the difference here. Each time when we as believers, as God's children, sin, remember that it is not punishment nor condemnation, but chastisement and correction. This we must remember. Now let's go straight to the first danger to look at it in detail. Despise not the Lord's chastisement. We then ask, how can a child of God despise the chastening of the Lord? The word despise in the original means to reject, to refuse, or to detest, or to abhor. So a child of God can despise the Lord's chastisement by being stubborn and refuse the rod of correction. He does not regard the rod as for his good, but for evil. He looks at it that way. He complains and murmurs rather than submitting himself to the correction in humility. That's one way we can despise the chastening or the chastisement of the Lord. A child of God can despise the Lord's chastisement, secondly, by lifting up his spirit of pride, by being unbending and dare God to do his worst. He takes God's chastening lightly and without a care that God is grieved by his sin. He looks only at the rod rather than at the hands that corrects. That's the difference. His ears are deaf to the gentle rebuke and admonition of the Lord. Perhaps through brothers and sisters in Christ, through his word.
A child of God, thirdly, can despise the Lord's chastisement by not only ignoring the good and benefit of the chastisement, he goes even further by what? By not amending or turning away from his sin, from his wrong. There are many Christians who knew their sin, but they continue to harbor it. They refuse to admit wrong and remain unrepentant. Let me end this first point, or this first danger here that we are talking about, by quoting from Spurgeon again. Spurgeon says this: many a Christian goes limping for years because of the stones in his shoe. But if he would only stop to look for them, he would be relieved. What is the sin that is causing you pain? Get it out. Take away the sin. For if you do not, you have not regarded this admonition which speaketh unto you as unto sons. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Unquote. We got to ask ourselves again this evening, is this the reason why so many of us are so weak in our lives as Christians? Is this the reason why there are so many weak Christians in our churches today? Because they go on limping for years and refusing to repent of their sin? Could this be the reason why God seems to be so far from you, from me, and our prayers did not reach heaven? It seems that heaven shut up all its windows and God is so far. Could this be the reason? Because we have sinned in our lives that we did not confess and repent. The second danger we are to keep away is, be not weary of the Lord's correction. Be not weary of the Lord's correction. This second danger applies to those who are opposite of the first danger. This group of Christians, on the other hand, became weary when God applies the rod of correction. The word weary here in Hebrew, in the original language, speaks of a feeling of grief, to be distressed. In Hebrews 12:5, the word faint is used, and similarly the meaning is to be despondent, becoming faint-hearted when the Lord applied the rod of correction on us. So looking at the meanings of these two words, we have the idea here that a child of God, instead of despising the chastening of the Lord, can go the other extreme to be grieved, to be distressed, to be despondent, to becoming faint-hearted when God applies the rod. How can one be weary or faint-hearted at God's chastisement? Well, he can by becoming so despondent, which means so downcast, so discouraged, that he gave up on God. He thinks that God no longer loves him and cares for him anymore. And that is why God is applying the rod of correction on him. This is the child of God that begins to doubt whether God is withholding his grace, his mercy, and his love. This is one way of being weary, faint-hearted at God's chastisement. Another way a child of God can be weary and faint-hearted at God's chastisement is to think
that his present troubles and affliction will be forever, and that he will never get out of it. Or to consider God's chastisement as never ending, as if God, like our parents, keeps on using the rod over every and any wrong that the child commits. This is the attitude that he takes towards God's chastisement. So here in this second danger, it is the refusal to be comforted, and we brood over our sorrow and becoming so discouraged, so dejected, that we sink further into sin and becoming fruitless, unprofitable Christian. This is the other extreme. Brethren, you and I who are in Christ ought to be very watchful, to watch unto prayer, that we fall not into either extreme, to despise God's chastisement or to be weary of God's correction. Satan can get us at both ends. And to avoid these two dangers is to have a proper understanding of the covenant of grace. It is important that as God's children, God is no longer dealing with you and me who are in Christ as a judge, but rather a father to his sons and to his daughters. And this is supported by verse 12 in Proverbs 3, which gives us the reasons why we are to keep ourselves away from the two dangers we have already considered. So the third point here is to look at the reasons for the Lord's chastisement and correction. Verse 12 reads, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." For the believers, for those of us who are in Christ, what can be the most comforting, or what can be most comforting to you than this verse in verse 12? Where can you and I get comfort from? Is it not from the fact that you and I, as God's children, are now sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ, the Lord? Is this not comforting to you? And as sons and daughters, we must not forget that God no longer deals with us as condemned sinners. He looks upon us in love and mercy, and he desires the best for us. Just like our parents, isn't it? Can you show me any father and mother who would torture their sons, their daughters, just for sheer pleasure? Cannot be. Unless the father and mother is out of their mind and need to be sent to the mental hospital. If earthly fathers and mothers, as we are told in Hebrews, knows how to correct us for our good, for our benefit, to bring us back into the right path, the path of righteousness, if earthly fathers and mothers who are sinners knows how to do that, how much more our God, our Savior, our Lord, who died for us on the cross, gave his life for us, took the full penalty for our sin, will he not more so deal with us gently as fathers, as father towards sons and his son and daughter? Will he in any way treat us different? So brethren, when you are afflicted, ask yourself, Is it for nothing that these calamities or troubles that God sent or permitted to be your portion? Is it for no benefits and no purpose? Are your present situation, perhaps your present situation, to be out of job, facing a nasty colleague, having an infirmity, delinquent children, endless troubles? Are your present situations not the design of God for the trying of your faith, which worketh patience, which we read in James 1 verse 3? Turning again to Hebrews 12, let's look at verse 6 to 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. To further support this, I suggest that you take a good look or a good study at the Old Testament saints. Tell me, which one of them has never been chastised of God? Can you name me one? From prophets to kings, from David to Hezekiah to Jehoshaphat, you name it, those godly kings, godly people, young and old. I suggest to you and I submit to you, none of them, which you read in Scripture, none of them reached heaven without a scar on their back by the chastening rod which God deems fit to apply it. None of them. Look again also at our Savior, the Son of God. Did not the prophet Isaiah tells us this? That the chastisement of our peace was even upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Even the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, was chastised. But don't get it wrong, he was chastised not for his sin, but for our sin. He suffered, he bore the cross, he endured the shame, the curse, as well as any of us. Yes, much more. He endured far more chastisement than any of us can possibly bear. Yet the Son of God humbly accept the chastisement of God on our behalf. My closing words to all of us is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 to 11. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Is it not true? Do you hate your fathers and mothers because they punish? Yes, they punish you. They give you a good spanking. Yet, we love them, isn't it? We show reverence to them. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of Spirit, which is God, and live? For they, our parents, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Remember, brethren, when God apply the rod of correction, it is to make us more Christ-like. It is to prepare us for the heavenly home. It is not to destroy us. It is not to put some scars on us. It is not for that. It is to make us more conformable unto his image, his holiness. Now no chastening or for the present seemeth to be joyous. Yes, it's true. It's grievous. It is meant to be. It is meant to be. It is not for fun that God applied the rod of correction on us. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded, it produced the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Brethren, the next time when you feel the Lord's chastening hand or his rod of correction on your bed, do not shrink from it. Do not sink by it, but remember his covenant of grace, that God is dealing with you as his beloved sons and daughters whom he loved. Love enough to send his only begotten Son to die for your sins. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, which is for our comfort and encouragement. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That is our reward. The end result is this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, God is not going to apply the rod of correction on us forever. It is for our good. The time will come. The time will come that the chastisement will stop when God deems it necessary to stop it. And it will work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. May we rest upon this, those of us who are in Christ, whatever may come your way. Yes, there are times when trouble comes, it's not because of our sin. There are times it may be. But whatever it is, remember that God deals with us as sons and daughters. That he is willing, out of his grace and mercy, to purchase us with the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for your grace and mercy upon us. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that you do not look upon us, your children, as condemned sinners. You are no longer a judge to us, but a Father, our Heavenly Father, who loves us and loves us still. O Lord, we praise thee and give thee glory and honor. We thank thee that thou art such a loving and wonderful Father to us. Despite of our sinning against thee, despite of our waywardness and disobedience, despite of our unbelief, despite of our forsaking thee and turning away from thee, O Lord, how time and again, in your great mercy, you bring us back to yourself, so that we can continue to have this fellowship with you. And so that, Lord, we can indeed march on to the day of glory. O Heavenly Father, we pray for your help, that thou will help us to remember, that thou will bring to remembrance, O Lord, your love and mercy upon us. And so help us, we pray, that we will not despise the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.